Chapter 135. Said. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Jonas. What did he say? Apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp laid her hand upon her heart, to put some check upon its palpitations, and turning up her eyes replied in a faint voice. The awfulest things, Mr. Chuzzlewit, as ever I heard. Which Mrs. Harris's father never spoke a word when took so, some does and some don't, except saying when he come round, where is Sary Gamp? But Raleigh, sir, when Mr. Chuffy comes to ask who's lying dead upstairs, and apostrophe, who's lying dead upstairs? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Jonas, standing aghast. Mrs. Gamp nodded, made as if she were swallowing, and went on. Who's lying dead upstairs? Such was his Bible language. And where was Mr. Chuzzlewit as had the only son? And when he goes upstairs a-looking in the beds and wandering about the rooms, and comes down again a-whispering softly to hisself about foul play and that, it gives me such a turn, I don't deny it, Mr. Chuzzlewit, that I never could have kept myself up, but for a little drain o' spirits, which I seldom touches, but could always wish to know where to find, if so dispatched, never knowing what may happen next, the world being so uncertain. Apostrophe, why, the old fool's mad. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Jonas, much disturbed. That's my opinion, sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp, and I will not deceive you. I believe as Mr. Chuffy, sir, requires attention, if I may make so bold, and should not have his liberty to wex, and worry your sweet lady as he does. Apostrophe, why, who minds what he says? Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Jonas. Still he is worritin', sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp. No one don't mind him, but he is a ill convenience. Apostrophe, ecod, you're right, apostrophe, said Jonas, looking doubtfully at the subject of this conversation. I have half a mind to shut him up. Apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp rubbed her hands, and smiled, and shook her head, and sniffed expressively, as scenting a job. Could you take care of such an idiot now, in some spare room upstairs? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Jonas. Me and a friend of mine, one off, one on, could do it, Mr. Chuzzlewit, apostrophe, replied the nurse. Our charges not being high, but wishing they was lower, and allowance made considering not strangers. Me and Betsy Prigg, sir, would undertake Mr. Chuffy reasonable, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp, looking at him with her head on one side, as if he had been a piece of goods, for which she was driving a bargain, and give every satisfaction. Betsy Prigg has nussed a many lunacies, and well she knows their ways, which putting them right close afore the fire, when fractious, is the certainest and most compaging. Apostrophe, while Mrs. Gamp discoursed to this effect, Jonas was walking up and down the room again, glancing covertly at the old clerk, as he did so. He now made a stop, and said, I must look after him, I suppose, or I may have him doing some mischief. What say you? Apostrophe, no than more likely. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp replied. As well I have experienced, I do assure you, sir. Apostrophe, well, look after him for the present, and let me see 3 days from this time let the other woman come here, and we'll see if we can make a bargain of it. About 9 or 10 o'clock at night, say. Keep your eye upon him in the meanwhile, and don't talk about it. He's as mad as a March hare. Apostrophe, apostrophe, matter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Gamp. A deal matter. Apostrophe, see to him, then. Take care that he does no harm, and recollect what I have told you. Apostrophe, leaving Mrs. Gamp in the act of repeating all she had been told, and of producing in support of her memory and trustworthiness, many commendations selected from among the most remarkable opinions of the celebrated Mrs. Harris, he descended to the little room prepared for him, and pulling off his coat and his boots, put them outside the door, before he locked it. In locking it, he was careful so to adjust the key, as to baffle any curious person who might try to peep in through the keyhole, and when he had taken these precautions, he sat down to his supper. Mr. Chuff, apostrophe he muttered, it'll be pretty easy to be even with you. It's of no use doing things by halves, and as long as I stop here, I'll take good care of you. When I'm off you may say what you please. But it's a d-d strange thing, apostrophe he added, pushing away his untouched plate, and striding moodily to and fro, that his driveling should have taken his turn just now. Apostrophe, after pacing the little room from end to end several times, he sat down in another chair. I say just now, but for anything I know, he may have been carrying on the same game all along. Old dog. He shall be gagged. Apostrophe, he paced the room again in the same restless and unsteady way, and then sat down upon the bedstead, leaning his chin upon his hand, and looking at the table. When he had looked at it for a long time, he remembered his supper, and resuming the chair he had first occupied, began to eat with great rapacity, not like a hungry man, but as if he were determined to do it. He drank too, roundly, sometimes stopping in the middle of a draught to walk, and change his seat and walk again, and dart back to the table and fall to, in a ravenous hurry, as before. It was now growing dark. As the gloom of evening, deepening into night, came on, another dark shade emerging from within him seemed to overspread his face, and slowly change it. Slowly, slowly, darker and darker, more and more haggard, creeping over him by little and little, until it was black night within him and without. The room in which he had shut himself up was on the ground floor, at the back of the house. It was lighted by a dirty skylight, and had a door in the wall, opening into a narrow covered passage or blind alley, very little frequented after 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, and not in much use as a thoroughfare at any hour. But it had an outlet in a neighboring street. The ground on which this chamber stood had, at one time, not within his recollection, been a yard, and had been converted to its present purpose for use as an office. But the occasion for it died with the man who built it, and saving that it had sometimes served as an apology for a spare bedroom, and that the old clerk had once held it, but that was years ago, as his recognized apartment, it had been little troubled by Anthony Chuzzlewit and son. It was a blotched, stained, moldering room, like a vault, and there were water pipes running through it, which at unexpected times in the night, when other things were quiet, clicked and gurgled suddenly, as if they were choking. The door into the court had not been opened for a long, long time, but the key had always hung in one place, and there it hung now. He was prepared for its being rusty, for he had a little bottle of oil in his pocket, and the feather of a pen, with which he lubricated the key and the lock too, carefully. All this while he had been without his coat, and had nothing on his feet but his stockings. He now got softly into bed in the same state, and tossed from side to tumble it. In his restless condition, that was easily done. When he arose, he took from his portmanteau, which he had caused to be carried into that place when he came home, a pair of clumsy shoes, and put them on his feet, also a pair of leather leggings, such as countrymen are used to wear, with straps to fasten them to the waistband. In these he dressed himself at leisure. Lastly, he took out a common frock of coarse dark jean, which he drew over his own underclothing, and a felt hat he had purposely left his own upstairs. He then sat himself down by the door, with the key in his hand, waiting. He had no light, the time was dreary, long, and awful. The ringers were practicing in a neighboring church, and the clashing of the bells was almost maddening. Curse the clamoring bells, they seemed to know that he was listening at the door, and to proclaim it in a crowd of voices to all the town. Would they never be still? They ceased at last, and then the silence was so new and terrible, that it seemed the prelude to some dreadful noise. Footsteps in the court. 2 men. He fell back from the door on tiptoe, as if they could have seen him through its wooden panels. They passed on, talking, he could make out about a skeleton which had been dug up yesterday in some work of excavation near at hand, and was supposed to be that of a murdered man. So murder is not always found out, you see, apostrophe they said to one another as they turned the corner. Hush. He put the key into the lock and turned it. The door resisted for a while, but soon came stiffly open, mingling with the sense of fever in his mouth, a taste of rust, and dust, and earth, and rotting wood. He looked out, passed out, locked it after him. All was clear and quiet as he fled away. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.